Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, it's wonderful to see everyone today. Got a little more summer weather here, but that's going to change real soon. Well, I've had scripture on my mind, particularly since Wednesday night. You know, Brother Ben focused on the scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 about the throne of grace. And somehow my mind has just kept going back to the themes that are in that. And the thing is, with any scripture, especially like that one, it's going to tie in with everything else. Scriptures don't just sit there all by themselves, and they're a part of the context of scripture and of truth as a whole. And so it's inevitable when you look at a scripture like this, it's going to bring everything else and many other scriptures that we know and truths that we talk about all the time, it's going to bring them into perspective. And so I think this is definitely going to be one of those cases. But anyway, the verse itself is the admonition or the instruction to us to let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, there's a whole lot. You can go in a whole lot of different directions from scriptures like that, just focusing on each word almost, each key word. But one of them that's a good place to start is to remind us about grace. Now, we've mentioned many times that grace is God's power reaching out to help sinners, and that's absolutely true. But we know that Paul reminds us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, and so forth. But the point I want to bring out of that particular scripture right now is the fact that that we are saved is not an event. It's not an event. There is a present tense, continuing sense of salvation. I thank God that there is a starting point. There's a point where people pass from death to life, where there is a literal birth that takes place, a new life that's deposited on the inside. But that's not, I mean, some people think, oh, I'm saved, I was saved, and that was an event that happened then. Now I just adopt another lifestyle, and one day I get to go to heaven because my guilt and my sins have been washed away. Boy, that's a very superficial view of what God's after and what it's about. Salvation begins when we come to that place where we know we need a Savior and we reach out to the promise of God and we hand Him our lives and we let Him come in and start the process. But it is a process and it continues as long as we are in this world. Salvation is something that God means to continue. I need salvation today. Now, I don't want to say that in a way that conveys an uncertainty. As always, if I don't live up to something, then, oh my God, He's going to throw me out. No, there's a work that God begins. But as we've said so many times, it's a work that He continues. How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ. But it is a work. I mean, you know, you don't have a baby born into this world and say, well, praise God, put on a football uniform, send them out into the world. No, there's a growth process. To get to adulthood, when they're able to assume the duties of an adult, there's a long growth process and a lot of changes that have to happen. Well, that's the way it is with us. God has a reason why He's called us, why He's bringing us out and delivering us from not only the guilt of sin, but also its power to control us and to rule us. I need that today. And God knows I need it. And so that's what this is really about. It's about having a place where I can go and get what I need. Because, you know, how ridiculous is it if I just assume, okay, I'm in, I live a certain lifestyle, and it's all good. And here's God saying, uh-uh, I've got a purpose for your life. I've got a reason why I don't just take you home when you say yes. You're called to live in a broken world, but you're called now to live for me. There's a different purpose for your life, and I want to give you the power to live it. And as I was thinking about this scripture, the central word, the most important word, I believe, is the last one. And it's need. We are so natured that unless we feel a need, we will coast. We will assume everything is cool, everything is all right. But there has to be a sense of need, and God is wise enough and loving enough to cause us to feel our need, because he knows he's the only one who's able to meet that need. We've been singing about Jesus and the name of Jesus. Do you know what that word means? God saves. That's how God wants us. That's what he wants us to know about him. That's his heart, is to reach out and gather a people out of the world. But it's not just about giving them a ticket, as we said so many times, to heaven. He is preparing a people to rule over a new creation and not mess it up. Adam and Eve messed it up real big time. But here we are, and God is raising up a family that's going to be completely ready. Well, anybody here that's ready for that? No, I'm not. There's a whole lot wrong with me. But you know something? If I can go along in my life and I don't feel some sense of need, I'm not aware of something in particular, I'm going to coast. I'm going to start feeling like, hey, I got what I need. I'm going to get in the condition the Laodicean believers did, where, you know, we've got all we need. We're just coasting along, doing fine. Everything we got, we believe the right stuff. We do the right stuff. Praise God. Just live our life and wait till Jesus comes. Oh, my God. God has a reason for us to be here. And we resist the idea of having need. We think it's something wrong. And what the Lord has helped me to see in a fresh way in all of this is that needs and having a sense of need doesn't mean there's something wrong. It means that God loves us enough to show us our need because he wants to take us further. What point is there in saying, oh, God, take me higher, if you don't really sense, I need to go higher. There's stuff that's not quite the way he wants it in my life, and I need something. But, oh, we don't like that. We are very good at hiding, pretending, and God's trying to reach out to us, and we just don't want to hear it. We think, it shouldn't be this way. Oh, God, why should I have a need at this point? I've known you so long, Lord. I should have it down pat by now. As though, again, it's a lifestyle where if I learn all the ropes and how it works, then if I just do it. But it doesn't work that way. You know, it doesn't work that way with a kid growing up. You can be right where you're supposed to be at a certain age, but that's not the end of it. You're not an adult yet. You're actually going to have to learn to do arithmetic. For some, that's a chore. Praise God. But whatever it is, there's always something. There's always room to grow. There's always something that we need. And how we deal with that and how we acknowledge that. Oh, God, I'm fine. Just don't, you know, or that's just me. We make excuses. Oh, God, it's just the way I am. You saved me. You knew what I was when you saved me, so just accept it. I'm that way, and you're going to have to deal with it. That's what we're really saying when we don't respond to when he wants to shine the light. But, oh, God, help us. God, help us to get to that place where we can be open to all that God wants to show us about our needs, and not upset about it, as though something is wrong and it just shouldn't be that way. We are so proud. We are so full of pride. We want to think highly of ourselves. We want to think of ourselves as good Christian people. And after all, we don't go out and rob banks. We don't shoot people. Not too often anyway. No. Seriously. We don't, you know, we like to have, it's awfully easy to get almost to the point where the Pharisee got. You remember how Jesus talked about the Pharisee who went into the temple to pray? Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Oh, what a spiritual fellow. He wants to thank God. Got a thankful heart. But, oh, where's the focus? He goes through the motions. I'm thanking you. Then it's all about him. I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I do this, I do that. And he talks about all his good deeds. And so here I am. I'm presenting myself, expecting your favor because I'm such a good person. God help us. There are no good people. There are no good people. And so you have this other guy who would have been one of the most despised people in all of Jewish society at the time, and that was a tax collector who collaborated with Rome and was crooked. But he went in there with a different attitude, didn't he? He knew what he was, and he didn't hide from it. He didn't pretend. He didn't try to sugarcoat it or excuse it or do anything except, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, it's easy to look at that scripture and say, oh, well, that's what people need to do when they come to Jesus. But afterwards, and we turn into the Pharisee without thinking about it. But I sense this need in myself, first of all, and it ought to be that way, because we all are in the same boat. We're in a process of growing up in him and being made ready to inherit a perfect creation. I want to do that. And how easy it is just to become buried in the life and all that it has to do, all the issues of life. And here's another thing. We think of need all too often in terms of earthly circumstances. That is, I'm sick and I need to be well. I need a job. I need, you know, where should I live? Should I buy this house or not? I need, you know, money for this, or my bills are due, and, you know, a long list of practical things that we think about. I need a car, oh God. Well, you know, what did Jesus say about things like that? Yeah, he said, don't worry about it. That's the first thing. Don't live in a state of anxiety about those kinds of things. But he also told us where our focus needs to be. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. The Lord knows we have needs of such a thing, of things like that. He can take care of the sparrows. I guess he cares about us, and he tracks the numbers of hairs on your head, as we've said so many times. Whoops, there goes number 3,763. What a God we have who can take care of, who's aware of such things, the details. Oh, I often wonder what he must think. He looks down at me and sees how disconnected I am and unaware and just don't quite get what he's doing and why he's doing it, and gets so involved in the affairs of life. What am I going to do for a career? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? God cares about all those things. But the number one thing is, my life belongs to you. And I'm not here to do my will any more than Jesus was. I know you have a plan for me. And so that's the focus of my life. And I know you can help me with all these decisions because, yes, I do live here. There are responsibilities that you put before me, but you're wanting me to take hold of them as one of your children and not as people of the world. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter for many years. So there's a place for being carpenters and whatever else. But I'll bet you his character was different than people around him. And that's what God is looking for. Number one, to be his child and to reflect the life that he has given to us. Because, you know, when you're born again, you now have two different sources of life. See, before that, you only had the one. And you're in a bad place. I don't care how religious you get, you're still a sinner. Because the problem is not what we do, it's what we are that causes us to do what we do. Okay? So that's the need. Now, how does God save a sinner, by the way, while we're at it? Well, let me backtrack here, because this is part of a context. And if you want to get down to that last word, need, and know where God's going with this, we need to backtrack and read some of the rest of the passage. Because how do we come to this place where we know we have a need? And that knowing that that we have a need causes us to go to that throne of grace. See, if I don't know it, I ain't going. All too often, I'll just be like the Pharisee. Thank you, I'm doing good. But oh God, help us. That is part of a paragraph that begins with a very special word that we focused on in the past. Therefore, always remember, when you see the word therefore, you've got to stop and ask what it's there for. Because it's there as a conclusion to something else that is a fact. All right? As a result of that fact, therefore, and then you go forward. And so you backtrack to verse 12. And we find out how God makes us aware of needs. All right? Very simple. For the word of God is alive and active. Okay? So he's talking about something more than words on a page. He's talking about something where God is communicating with us. And we know that God can speak in many ways. This is one way. If his spirit is involved in what's happening today, then it's not simply words that I'm speaking. That's my prayer. You don't need to hear me. I don't have anything for you, but he does. But boy, when he speaks, there's life in it. There's power in it that could actually make a difference in somebody's heart. So that's what God is talking about here. The word of God is alive and active. Okay, so what does that mean? Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Now, you can take a double-edged sword and cut somebody up physically. But, this goes a lot deeper than that, doesn't it? This is something that goes down to the very depths of my being. Even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Listen to this now. It judges, it assesses, it tells the truth about, shines a light upon what? The thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay? So here's God shining a light. Now everybody just naturally loves that. See, since we would like to think well of ourselves and feel like, I'm doing okay. I want to please God, and he must be so pleased with me because look at how I'm doing. Oh, God, help us. But here is God saying, I've got a plan for this person, and they don't get it right now. I've got to do something. Right now, there's a need that they don't even know about, and I've got to somehow let them know about that need. So how does he go about that? Some way or other, he has got to communicate with us, person to person. Remember, this is not religion, this is relationship. This is a heavenly Father who knows how to talk to us and shine a light down in here. And all too often, it's a light we don't want to, we would just as soon he leave out and not bother. But he's going to shine because he knows every need down to the depths of our being. So how do we get to the place of need? God has to speak. Now, he can speak, like I say, this way. He could speak in 1,001 ways. You could look at the stars and suddenly God drops a thought in your mind and your heart. You could be reading the word and instead of just words on a page, all of a sudden the author starts talking to you. And he starts making you aware of something. And that's when God wants us to respond in a positive way, where we learn how to come to him. And we understand his heart in doing that. Oh, how often we react when something shows us a need in our lives, as though God's just unhappy with me and it's not good. I don't want to be, I shouldn't be this way. Get over yourself. We need salvation. There always, as long as we're here, we're going to have needs. God's not upset about that. He knows that we have needs. What he's about is meeting those needs in a loving, gentle way. So I started to talk about how salvation begins, because how does a person ever come to the point where they enter into salvation and the new birth if God doesn't first show them their need? See, God speaks to everybody, but there are those who, the majority of people, just resist it and say no. But when God saves a sinner, his Spirit goes ahead and begins to show that person their need. And you will never go to him for salvation until you really, you might be religious and conform, but I'm talking about going to him for salvation until you understand your need. Thank God that he can bring us to a place where we realize, my God, I'm guilty. If I died today, I would be lost. Without him, I have no hope. And it's not just the stuff I've done. It's what I am, and I can't change that. I don't care what I do. I can't change it. Oh, God. Now, does God show us that truth because he's mad at us? Or because he loves us and wants us to know the truth? And oh, I'll tell you, what an awesome truth it is that when we come to that place where we're willing to listen and willing to say, yes, Lord, truth, Lord, I am what you say I am. I recognize that without you I'm lost. Then he takes and turns our attention. That same word that brought conviction shows us a Savior. Shows us the one we were singing about who went to that cross, took our guilt upon him, went into a tomb, but came out with a new life that he now has the ability to share with us, the very life of God, and to set us on a new course, to birth in us a life that we can't lose, because the one we have now, it ain't going on and on. It's going to end. But oh, thank God. But you see the process. God has to bring somebody to a need before they'll go to the throne. Once they surrender and come humbly and truthfully before him and say, yes, Lord, truth, Lord, I have a need. Now he can point to the answer to that need, and it's a Savior who's able to save completely those that come to him, because he ever lives to pray for us and to stand there. Praise God, what a Savior we have. If somebody's here, somebody hears this later, there might be a prisoner somewhere who's committed terrible things. Your life is a wreck, it's a mess. You've done unspeakable things. And you think, oh, this isn't for me. This is exactly for you. It's the people sitting in churches who think they're righteous because how they live and what they do, and it has nothing to do with coming to him as a sinner. They're the ones, like the Pharisees, who'll be lost in the end. And they'll get there and think they're supposed to come in, and you'll say, well, depart from me, I never knew you. But there will be people who are sitting on death row right now who come to a place where they recognize what they've done and what they are, and that there is a Savior who reaches down to the lowest of the low. You can't get too low, to where he won't love you and care about you and want you to be his child. So I just encourage anybody who hears this and it causes you to realize your need. Oh, wake up to the Savior who loves you, to the God who cares about you, who calls you right where you are, exactly like you are. Oh, my God. There's nothing he delights in more than reaching out into the garbage heap of human society and pulling somebody out and saying, this is mine. I have the power to take this and make them one of my sons and daughters to reign with me forever. Praise God. Many times I'll think about somebody who does have a need to come to the Lord, and the thought will come to me is to pray for them, said, Lord, I pray that one day that person and I will stand before you robed in white because of what you've done. Lord, let it happen. God, do whatever it takes to bring them to that place where they're going to stand there beside me one day. I'm going to look at them, and we're going to just rejoice together. It doesn't matter whether you've grown up in a good household and never done anything so terrible. We all have exactly the same need. Not one of us can look down on another and say, I'm more worthy than you. Oh, my God. God has reduced us to absolutely one level. So that's a big part of this. But Paul is right, or not right, whoever is writing the book of Hebrews, I think a lot of people don't believe it was Paul, and I'm one of them, but God did it. Whoever he inspired to actually pen the words, God is behind it. But here's the heart that God wants us to get. He shows us everything that's wrong and everything that's a need. He said nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Oh, God, I want to be open. Lord, I don't want to hide from this and pretend that I'm good and I'm okay and I'm denying all that stuff. Oh, God, help me. But I started down this trail because, as I say, when we think of needs, so many times we're just thinking of practical everyday circumstances. When God's getting down into the heart, and I've used this kind of an illustration before, because we tend, if we don't have something to interrupt our process, we're going to follow our old nature, okay? Now, let's take a simple thing like getting mad. Now, nobody that affects, doesn't affect anybody here, right? But our nature is when something happens, particularly involving somebody, and it just rubs us the wrong way, our natural reaction is to become angry, to be mad. And, well, there's so many ways you could go with this. But the problem is, if we learn to do that, it becomes a habit over time, doesn't it? Now, we understand what habits are, right? I still remember the day when I guess we were up in my grandparents' cottage in New Hampshire on a vacation at some point, and my grandmother wanted to teach me a lesson. Well, I needed plenty of lessons. And so she wanted to teach me about habits. And so she told me to hold out my arms, and she wrapped a thread around my hands. My wrists. Said, okay, break it. Of course, no problem. Then she wrapped it 3 or 4 times, and I had to work a little harder to break it. Then she wrapped it a whole bunch of times, and ooh, something's changed. You know, simple lesson. But oh God, we learn to behave in certain ways. And the problem is when we begin to just adjust to that behavior as though that's normal and the problem is out there somewhere. And here's the Lord looking down and seeing us reacting to somebody. Let's say there's one person in your life and you just really have a problem with them. And our tendency is to say, well, they made me mad. Now, do we go to the throne of grace and say, oh God, fix them? I have a need. They make me mad. Will you kindly take care of that? No. What do you think the problem is? The problem is here. No one has the power to make you mad. Getting mad is a choice that we make. And if you keep making it and keep making it and keep making it, guess what happens? You don't have to think about it anymore. You just do it. And it becomes the new normal. But you extrapolate that to everything in our lives that comes from the old nature. I mean, how many things that come out of us are really Jesus? You remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they were worried about all the external things of their religion. And Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth. It's what comes out. And what comes out from the heart. And it's all this evil that's in the inside. That's what tends to come out the mouth. You know, we could well ask ourselves as we go through our days and we're acting and reacting to things around us, was that Jesus? That reaction that I just had, those words that I just spoke, the attitudes that happened on the inside, was that Jesus doing that? Or was that me? And here's the Lord looking down upon you and me in such love and such mercy. Praise God. Praise God. And he says, I've got so much for them. I have everything they need to change them into the kind of person I want them to be. After all, what is salvation about? Again, we talked about it growing up and being made ready. But he talks about it specifically in, like, Romans 8, for example. We often pointed out the scripture where all things work together for good, but to what end? So that we can be conformed to what? To the image of his Son. Conformed means I ain't there yet. That's why I need transformation from what I was to what he wants me to be. And that's a process. And sometimes it's not an easy one. Because what happens if I yield to something too much? And it becomes a habit. And sometimes we can just bop along and think we're all right and just not be as conscious as God wants us to be. So when God does something to get our attention, to shines a light, he puts us in the very person that rubs us the wrong way, he makes sure that we have plenty of interaction with them. Is he doing that because he's upset with us or mad at us? Or is he doing that because we need to wake up and learn what to do about it? Oh, how we think that if I don't measure up, God's upset with me. Now, yes, God can be grieved, but I think he's a lot more grieved when we won't acknowledge our needs than he is with the need itself. Oh God, give us the grace. When he speaks to us, wouldn't it be nice if we could hear the still small voice and not need him to, you know, shake things up and create an earthquake in our lives? I want to be in a place where I'm sensitive because I know this is what I need. I understand the process where he's got to speak to me to make me aware of a need. See, remember, we're going to the throne of grace, but I won't go there if I don't have a need. I think I'm just doing fine. I don't realize that I need grace. I need God's help to do anything that has to do with spiritual value and spiritual life. It doesn't come from me. Just as I couldn't make myself a Christian in the first place, I can't become the person God wants me to be unless it's him in me doing it. I can't power the Christian life with Adam. I need Christ in me. And how often does the Lord look down upon us and say, well, there they are. They think everything's cool, or at least that there's no major issue, and I'm trying to get their attention. I love them enough. Just like I loved them when I called them into the kingdom, I love them now, and I'm going to have to show them some stuff about them that they're not going to be happy about. And oh, that's where the devil loves to jump in, doesn't he? Because he will characterize this whole process as, again, God being upset with us. When he knows, he knew what he was getting into. Okay? He's not surprised by anything that's wrong with us. He knew that going in. But he has a way and a time where it's time to deal with this. And so God loves us enough to begin to shine the light and speak. But do we listen? May God give us grace to listen. But also, let's not listen to the voice of the enemy who begins to come in and say, there's something wrong. I've known the Lord so long, it shouldn't be this way. Well, yes, there are things that God wants to do in our lives, but if we're constantly stuck in this mode where it just shouldn't be this way, something is wrong, God's always upset with me about something, and I'm just struggling, and what happens if I think that something is wrong What is the natural reaction? Fix it. How do I do that? I try harder. I devote myself to whatever religious exercise I think will help. And oh God, but all of these things are substitutes for what he's getting at right here. Because you follow what he said about the word, but with a therefore. In other words, let's find out what God's solution to the problem is. God's solution is that he has a place. Praise God. I thought of more than one title, but how about this one? God's open door policy. That'll make it memorable, I think. God's open door policy. What does God want? How does God want us to see this? When God shows you a real need, I mean, it could be just a little thing or it could be a long-standing issue in your life. And God says, all right, let's talk about this. Oh, may God give us the grace to react like David did when God pointed out his sin. Man, he didn't hide a bit. He just, yes, Lord, truth, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. But, oh, God, I'm looking to you not for justice, for mercy. Thank God. The justice was taken care of on the cross. Thank God. But here's God's prescription. All right? In the first place, therefore, since we have a great high priest. Now, the writer who was writing to Jews who knew the Old Testament law. And under that law, they had priests who were set apart from the people. And their job was to represent the people in offering sacrifices that God would accept. All right? So now he's saying, we've got one. We've got a great high priest, but this one isn't walking around among us with his own needs. This is somebody who has ascended into heaven. He's way beyond anyone the devil could ever touch. No devil in hell could stop him from carrying out God's purpose and God's plan. He has ascended into heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. All right, in light of that, what do we do? Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize. That is, he's able to say, I've been there. I know what dealing with human nature is like. Now, he did it without sin, but he knew what it felt like. For his old nature, for that human nature to want something that was against what God had. And he had to do some crying, as we pointed out many times, and some praying. So we got somebody who can empathize with our weaknesses. You got any this morning? Anybody here got weaknesses? Yeah, we sure do. Good thing to be honest about it, isn't it? But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Then he goes to the let us there and approach God's throne of grace with confidence. That sounds like an open door to me, doesn't it? God's open door policy. Here's the Lord showing us our need. Here's the devil jumping in and saying, oh my God, that's terrible. Something's wrong. It shouldn't be this way. You've got to fix it. And the Lord's saying, I understand where you're at. I'm doing this not to make you feel bad, not to condemn you, but so that you will come and be honest and just humble yourself and say, yes, I have a need. And you're not upset with me or mad at me for having the need. Here's a loving God who says, my door is open. I have everything to meet that need. But you're going to have to come. You're going to have to be willing to walk through that door and understand why I showed you the need in the first place. It's because I love you. Because I understand and I care. And I want you to come with that sense of confidence, not to a, oh God, here I am again. You know, that's how we project human thinking onto that. As though, he's calling me on the carpet again. I've been sent to the principal's office. You know, all these images of going before somebody who's powerful and we've done something, there's a need, there's a problem in us, and here I am again having to acknowledge that. That's a terrible, fearful, bad thing that shouldn't have to happen. But the reality is what he's describing here ought to describe our daily lives. This is not just an event that happens and then we go on with life. This is a way of life. To walk, to realize we have a need and to walk through the door. It's not just dealing with the great big things, the besetting sins that we need to come to Him and find and work through and find grace. It's every single day. How much do we need Him? How often do we need Him? Always. I need Thee every hour. Every hour I need You, Lord. God wants us to be in that place where we have a sense of need without condemnation, but simply as a way of being aware of how of God's invitation to come and to find the help that we need. He says, I've got what you need, but you're going to have to come to Me and be honest. Oh, may God give us that kind of grace. There's a reason why He says, He calls it a throne of grace. He tells us to do it with confidence or freedom or boldness, different translations, so that we may receive what? Mercy. Ben emphasized this the other night. As long as you and I think that in order to come before God, we've got to somehow better ourselves, somehow make us ourselves more acceptable, or He's going to be upset with us, we don't get it. I need mercy. And I'll say this for somebody who may not have heard this. So many people confuse mercy and grace. Mercy is God showing me favor that I don't deserve. Grace is the favor itself. Grace is the strength, the help, the divine power to actually meet the need that I have. So He shows me mercy. And because of that attitude that He has toward me, this person needs mercy, and I'm more than willing. That's my heart, is to give them mercy. I want them to come. There's an open door. Don't let the devil talk you out of going through that door and feeling welcome in His presence every time we come and saying, Lord, I don't have what it takes. I need You, oh God. But I know You love me. I know You care about me. Don't let there be anything that gets between you and me just because I have needs. That's the definition of the Christian life. If you and I were ready to put on that robe one day, like we would be one day when He's done with the work, if we were ready, we wouldn't have a need. Guess what? You still have needs. So do I. There are things in here He wants to change. Praise God. You know, I think from time to time of that missionary lady in China so many years ago, 100 years ago now, I guess. And Watchman Nee was very greatly influenced by this godly woman. And one time he overheard her praying, and it was obvious that she was going to the throne of grace, but she was wrestling. You know, going to the throne of grace is not just pushing a magic button and suddenly everything's cool. Sometimes there's some wrestling that goes on. There's some battling. There's some waiting. And she was obviously wrestling with something, and it was obviously something that she didn't want to do exactly, didn't want it to be this way. He didn't ever say what the issue was. But that lady had the grace to actually pray, Lord, don't give in to me. Wow. You ever prayed that way? Lord, I know this is where You want me to go. This is what You want me to be and do, and I really don't want to do it. But to go on and say, don't give in to me. Well, didn't Jesus say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done? Wow. Talk about a picture of where we find ourselves. And that's a point that I felt as I was thinking about all this that needs to be made, is that needs can be very deep and long-standing issues in our lives, and sometimes we need to go to this throne and go to the throne and go to the throne and look to God and say, God, walk me through this. Did not Paul say that we're to work out or live out the salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to do what? Both to will and to do. All right, so I certainly need the help to do. It's not in me. But boy, sometimes I need the will. I need God to change the way I look at something and strengthen my will. But isn't that part of what he's asking, what he's telling us to do here? Again, do you think God's mad at you because you're struggling with these areas? This is why we need a Savior. He set out to save us, not because he's, you know, disgusted with us and saying, oh, well, I better do something. No, this is God's heart. He knows you inside and out, and he knows me, and he knows everything that will ever be wrong with us. He knows things that he hasn't shined a light on yet. Don't be afraid of that. God wants us to understand this issue without fear, without condemnation, without all of those things that we tend to latch on to, the devil wants to throw into the mix, so that we can go to him and just with a sense of freedom, Father, I'm here again. You know all about my needs, but I love you and I'm trusting in you. Lord, I need you to help me. And other scriptures that bear on this, we talk about how the help comes. What did Peter say about that? That we have all that we need in Christ. I'm paraphrasing. Everything we could ever need that pertains to life and godliness. How does that come? Through his precious promises. The very same word that will shine down in my heart and tell me about my need will then show me the solution. And the solution is God will speak to me. There will be not just words and instructions to my mind, but help to my spirit. There was life that will come. And what is my place in that at that point? Do I just push it away and say, oh, I don't agree with that? No, there has to be a reception of that into our hearts. When we open our hearts to what God says and his promises, now there's something down here. Then what? Faith. Now we start believing in what in the promise that he has given to us. And we start acting it out, living it out. And we find out that the power actually comes. It's real. And we discover God's faithfulness. Again, I have to emphasize, because it's true of all of us, there are issues that are fairly simple, you could say. You know, there's a question we have or whatever it is. But you get into the deep issues that every single one of us has. Things we don't want other people to know about. But they're real in our lives. They're characteristics. Sometimes people could know about it. They might know you're a gossip, or that you're angry or something. Or that you have an unforgiving, bitter spirit. Or, you know, God help us with those kinds of things. But those aren't the only things. There are things that only you and I know about. Except God knows. Now, does he look at us and say, what's the matter with you? Come on, get with the program. Or does he say, I know about that, and I love you, and I'm going to shine the light. But the reason I'm shining that light is because I want you to know about my open door policy. I want you to know that the banks of heaven have everything that you need. Jesus won it all. He absolutely conquered death, hell, and the grave, and sin, and all of it. And we have the right to come to him and find the strength. Now, sometimes it might be just strength for the day. Well, always. We don't get a full tank and then run on it for a year. We need to go every single day to that throne. Walk right in to the very throne room of heaven. Oh, God, and listen for what he says to us and find the strength for that day. Interesting. I noticed when I was reading this, and I was backed up from the word need, focusing on the fact that that's what this is all about. But there's a word that you could say, why is that in there? Why doesn't he say, find grace to help us in our need? What's the purpose of putting time in there? Well, There's a time for a lot of things. Time for every purpose under the sun. It reminds us that God has us on a schedule. We're growing. We're not here yet. We're not facing the issue. We'll face, well, the other way around from your point of view. We're here. We're not facing the issue that's out here. But we're facing this one. And it reminds us of what Paul understood, where he was able to say, I'm forgetting the things that are behind, but I'm reaching forth. But where was Paul actually living? Yes, he was reaching, but he wasn't living in the future. He was just moving towards it. And he left this because he could put it under the blood and leave it at the throne. He could take that to the throne and say, here I am, Lord, I've messed up, but Jesus paid it all. And I acknowledge my need, and I'm just looking to you right now to touch my heart and give me a freedom today to serve you. How many of you need that? I need that every single day to be able to go to the throne and just find the strength to have a freedom. I'm free in you right now. I love you. You love me. I can rest in that and know that you're with me. You've received me, not because I deserve it, but because of Jesus and because of your heart. But here I am, Lord, and I'm looking to you to give me the strength that I need this time. I wonder how many times God says, all right, they've had this need buried in their life. It's time for me to deal with that. They've grown to a point where I need them to learn to humble themselves, come to me, and find the strength that they need. And how many times, like I say, is it not just a one-off little prayer, magic prayer, and push the right button and say the right words? It's a battle. And again, we've used the illustration so long about what Paul went through when the thorn in the flesh came. He didn't just go to the Lord once and the Lord say, okay, here's the answer. He had to keep going, didn't he? It says three times. And I don't think the times meant, you know, okay, 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. These were seasons of prayer when Paul was just concerned. He said, God, I've got a need. Help me. In this case, it had to do with Paul's burden to serve the Lord. And that is another kind of need. If God has given you something to do, you're going to find out pretty quick you don't have what it takes. Well, God knows that. He didn't call you because you're qualified. He qualifies the called. He wants us to come to a place where we learn how to draw from Him and do everything we do with the strength that He gives. But now Paul's heart was to do that, but now he ran into a problem. Oh, God. And the answer didn't come overnight. What did he do? Did he say, oh, God doesn't care about this? Does the Lord encourage us to pray once and then if we don't get an answer, give up? No, we know the answer to that. What about the widow and the unjust judge? She kept going and kept going and kept going. And will not God move to help his elect call upon him day and night? God knows the timing that's needed. Many times you and I need to fight. We don't need a quickie little answer. We need what we learn in battle, because it's not just, again, God saying, I want you to try real hard and do this, and then I'll reward your effort. This is, I want you to fight the battle, but I'm going to be in you while you fight, and you're going to experience my faithfulness and my enabling power in a way that you wouldn't experience it any other way. You're going to have to go through something, but I'm going to take you through it. I'm going to be with you while you go through it, and we're going to come out the other side. You're going to know me in a deeper way. God's ways are above ours. His thoughts are above ours. But I pray that God will help all of us, starting with me, to realize what he's really talking about here. Again, the focus is on the word need. Every one of us falls short of where God is taking us. We have needs. We're living out, we're called to live out his life in this broken world. And we can't do it in ourselves. And so we're going to have to be willing for him to tell us what's needed and then to take us through his open door. right into the throne of God, knowing that he loves us and it's okay. We don't have to go in there and hang our heads and say, oh God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be this. Just come and say, Lord, I have a need. But you invited me to come. And you promised me that you're going to have mercy. And you promised me the help that I need. It's grace to help. The answer is not, I'll try harder. The answer is, you're going to give me your strength and teach me how to live that out and how to do all that. I'll tell you, God is faithful. You know, the time of need, I was thinking about this too. God has us here, each one, as long as it is his purpose. He calls us not just to enter the kingdom, but to live out his life here. Now, some he calls young, some live a long time. I mean, some of them are like Ryan. Apparently, the purpose that God wanted to fulfill in his life was fulfilled by the time he was 19. What about somebody else that is saved on their deathbed? It does happen. And you say, well, they don't, I mean, they're saved and then they die. What's that about? Well, I'll tell you, God has promised to finish the work he started. When? The day of Jesus Christ. He will continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ. That tells me that in some sense, what God is doing to prepare people to inhabit this new creation is still going on in people that have died. Because we're not there yet. This isn't the day of Jesus Christ hasn't come yet. But for every one of us, God has a purpose. He has a purpose in you being here. Part of that is to learn to live out his life. Part of it is to serve one another with whatever gifts and abilities he gives you. All of that factors into this, but we're going to have to face the fact that we are needy people and not be ashamed of the fact that we're needy people, but come to him with his open door policy and say, oh God, thank you for the grace that you offer. I need you every hour. I need to come every single day to that place, knowing that I'm welcome. This is what you want me to do. You're not saying, oh, them again. None of that. This is what I wanted. This was the whole reason I shined my light, so you'd come and we could just fellowship together and I could share the blessings and the glories of what Jesus accomplished. Welcome, my child, to the throne of the universe. My door is open to you. If you just come and be honest, I love you. Praise God. What a God we have. What a Savior we have. I don't know what your need is today, but whatever it is, don't be afraid of it. It's not too big for God. If you need a Savior, he's got one. He just wants your heart and your life, and he'll lead you down the road that he has planned for you. But whether you're on the path somewhere, don't be afraid of the needs that you're going to encounter. God has that awesome open door policy, and he loves us more than we can imagine. To him be the glory. Praise God.